Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection. And a calendar notification pops up in front of me saying, HR Latte here now. I'm very excited to be joining you this morning. This is Rayanne Thorne. Welcome to HR Latte. In my neck of the woods, it's morning, but where my guest is, it's mid to late afternoon happening over there. Please welcome Stephen O'Donnell. Hey, Stephen, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hi, Rayanne. Good to speak with you from the other side of the planet.
I know. This is so exciting. This is one of the best things about technology, is an opportunity to connect with somebody that maybe you might not have possibly even met, let alone have a friendship or a work relationship with. And you and I have been sparring back and forth for the last few years on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social channels. So I want to thank you so much for joining me this afternoon for you this morning for me. It's a pleasure to have you here. Stephen, before we kick off into my list of questions, and HR Latte is a quick hit show. It's very fast-paced. Yep. I like to get as much information in as possible. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you have going on over there in Glasgow?
Okay. As you say, I'm based in Glasgow. I always have been. I'm an old-school recruiter. That's what it says in my passport. From 1987 to now, so even though I don't face to face hire anymore, that's what's in my blood. So I've been doing that. Most of that time has been owning and running recruitment agencies. And from 2000, I got into the online space. I launched a very large portal of every recruitment resource in the UK, including every employer, every recruitment firm, every job board, publication, and so on. And from that then sprung the National Online Recruitment Awards, which this year is in its 15th year. So I'm probably best known for the NORAs, the Online Recruitment Awards, but I've been involved in a range of things to do with online recruitment in all that time. And as I say, I still class myself as a recruiter.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I spent many years in the trenches as a practitioner. I don't face-to-face recruit, as you noted, anymore, but it is in my blood. It's part of who I am. It makes up my personal understanding of business today and why businesses are successful, the people themselves. So I want to kick off, before we talk about the NORAs, and we're going to touch on those in a little bit, and folks that are listening, if you're unfamiliar, that's NORAs, N-O-R-A, stands for the National Online Recruitment Awards. I want to talk to you about the differences that you may note, and I'm going to ask this to each of my guests. March is launching a series here on HR Latte called the UK Connection. So each of my guests for this month will be from the UK, and I'll announce who those guests are later in the show. But to kick it off here, I have Stephen, and I want to ask you just a basic question about what you think the biggest difference that you see or are aware of between US and UK recruiting?
The employment marketplace in the UK is very different to anywhere else in the world. I wouldn't presume to tell you how the US market is, but I know that it will differ from state to state and city to city.
That's exactly
within
right.
The UK, the UK has the highest density of professional recruitment firms in the world. There's roughly one recruitment firm for every 3,000 working people. So that's an awful lot of recruitment agencies. There are fewer now than there were just before the recession. But still, the job boards and the employment market are very heavily reliant on the volume of vacancies that get channeled through professional recruitment firms. Job boards in the UK typically will have 70% or maybe more of their job inventory coming from professional recruitment firms, and most of those recruitment firms work on a contingency basis. So what you'll find is that candidates, when they're searching for a vacancy on a job board, they'll see the same vacancy advertised multiple times, and in theory, because the jobs are typically anonymized, a candidate could apply for the same vacancy several times. So the volume of vacancies in the UK is greatly reliant on those job boards. That said, the past 7 years, from 2007, 2008 onwards, the recession has meant that a large number of, especially big employers, have moved to have in-house recruitment teams, and they've largely hired from recruitment agencies to do that. So a lot of the people who were typically agency are now in-house, and they've brought with them a lot of that mentality. So there's quite a bit of change going on there. Still, recruitment agencies are very dominant in the UK. Even still within the UK, London we would have to treat as an entirely separate country almost. London pretty much didn't really have a recession as such. The only holdback in London would be the brief pause on ever-rising house prices. But London is very much an entirely different entity to the rest of the UK, and certainly to Scotland as well.
That's really interesting. Do you see that shift from recruiters moving from agency to in-house or corporate as going to stay that way for a while? Do you think it's going to be a lasting shift?
I do think it'll be a lasting shift, but what has happened is that employers who have gone down that path have often not hired recruiters on a permanent basis. They're on a contract basis, so they have an initial target to hit in terms of hiring individuals for certain projects and so on. But the employers are often not committing to keeping recruiters on the permanent staff.
Why do you think that is?
I think, frankly, they're experimenting to an extent. Okay. They're shopping around. They're bringing in people who are from the other side of the tracks. HR and recruiters are, poachers and gamekeepers.
That's right.
And there's a glass ceiling on recruiters joining a large PLC or Fortune 100 company, as you might say, going any further up the HR ladder. So in-house recruiters do find that they'll be kept in their box to an extent. But some people notably step out of that and grow within the organizations and become very well known for what they do. Their numbers are pretty thin on the ground, I'd say. Most people are finding themselves in a large organization, and they're bringing skills to bear to track down and hire and retain the very best staff. But moving upwards through the HR ranks is very difficult because, of course, they're not necessarily qualified as HR journalists.
That makes sense. So let's shift gears a little bit. Thank you for that. We're talking with Stephen O'Donnell today out of Scotland in the HR Latte series, the UK Connection. Thanks for joining us. Stephen, let's talk about the NORAs, the National Online Recruitment Awards. You said this is in your 15th year, which is phenomenal. And when I first joined Broadbean back in 2009, that's when I first learned of the NORAs. I wasn't involved with recruitment in the UK, but Broadbean being a UK-based and founded company has been involved with the NORAs for quite some time, and it was always a very exciting time whenever the NORAs came around. It was I would call it the Oscars of did they take place in London? Is that where they usually?
Yep. London every year in Covent Garden.
And so let's talk about those. What do you have coming up? When are the awards scheduled to go off, if you will?
This year, the nominations from the general public begin in July. The event is not until November. I always wonder about awards that are given out in January, for the best of the year, because we haven't yet had these. So the awards themselves are always in November. When I started the NORAs in 2000, frankly, it was a bit of a marketing exercise. I had a new website online, and I knew that it was really difficult to get attention. So I thought, well, if I'm not going to be winning any awards, how about we're the organization that gives out the awards? And what I learned from a bit of research at the time was that more than anything, you really have to have absolutely impeccable credibility. So it was really important that in job board awards or awards for the online recruitment sector, the candidates are at the very center of your thinking all the way through. So candidates nominate the sites in the first place. Last year we had around 35,000 nominations for over 700 separate recruitment websites. And I personally registered with all those websites as a candidate.
Holy moly.
As do our judges. So we have two separate judging panels who will, first of all, whittle those sites down to the finalists in each category, and then a separate panel to decide on who the winners are going to be. And again, they're given the remit of looking at sites from a candidate's perspective. We're not interested if a job board offers great value for money or has all sorts of bells and whistles for advertisers, because candidates are unaware of that. So we are deliberately unscientific in the way that we approach that, as candidates are. And the caliber of people that we have in the judging panel is high enough that the credibility is absolutely there. And it's really important that those individuals don't connect themselves with something that doesn't have that credibility well established. So, as you say, yes, there's an element of the Oscars, if you like, about the Noras.
Yeah.
That said, I would say that the event itself is very much not like your typical industry awards, where there's black ties and tuxedos and ball gowns and expensive dinners to be purchased. The event itself is usually a bit of there's a lot of alcohol involved, let's put it that way. And can I say that a room full of 400 professional talkers is,
yes,
quite the task. Not easy.
I bet it's loud. I bet it's very loud, very loud, and hard to garner their attention. So July is when you'll start accepting nominations. Can you just give me a quick view of what the different awards are? If you could just name off three or four of the awards.
Yeah, well, our flagship award is Best Generalist Job Board. So there are awards for job boards, generalist and specialist and regional. There are awards for recruitment firms, large, small, and very small, and awards for employers, again, large and small, and publications such as newspapers, trade magazines, and so on. Last year, we had a brand new award, and that award was actually voted for by all the former winners and finalists of the Noras. So that's the very first peer award that we have. So that means that the winner of that has the credibility from their own peers within the industry that they're judged to be the best recruitment website in the UK.
Okay, so we can find out more information at Nora, NORAUK.com. And are you, I know it's based in the UK, but are you looking to expand it all outside the UK marketplace?
I've long wanted to do exactly that. I would love to find a partner to have an online recruitment awards in North America, or particularly in the States. I know there isn't anything of that nature at the moment, and perhaps even in other countries too, but certainly in the States, I think that there's an appetite for it. I really would need someone on the ground there, because, frankly, it would be tricky from here. But
sure.
I think something could definitely be done there.
Well, we'll put the word out, and if folks want to get in touch with you, you are on Twitter and, of course, LinkedIn and Facebook, and Stephen can be found at Stephen O'Don, StephenOdonn on Twitter. He is always on the Twitters, so you can find him there, and he'll be happy to respond. I want to move on, but please, folks, if you're interested in participating or partnering with Stephen on bringing the Noras to the U.S., very successful award program. I would call it the original Candidate Experience Awards. These are awards that are voted on by candidates for the candidates and helping them to understand the process of recruitment and why recruitment advertising has always been so important and actually touches the ground roots of employment branding, right, where it was a successful efforts put out by organizations. So you also, Stephen, on top of being a successful recruiter in your past and founding the popular Noras, also founded a company called PC Evaluate. So I want to touch on this a little bit. And you provide at PC Evaluate online psychometrics. So I want you to give us, you know, a high-level view of what that means and what you provide for your clients.
Well, I've I've long been a fan of ways in which we can manage the process for hiring candidates, particularly when they're applying in volume, and doing it with a much greater level of candidate experience, as you say. And psychometrics is a great way of supplementing the process to make sure that great candidates aren't missed, and candidates who don't fit are given a professional no thanks as soon as possible in the process. Candidates are frustrated left, right, and centre with the processes they're presented with, and there's no consistency in the experience that they have. So the product that we have for PC Evaluate for online psychometrics actually comes from in Charleston and called People Clues. People Clues is part of People Matter, and People Matter provides HR software for a great number of very large organizations in the US. People Clues themselves run independently, and we have license to market the product throughout the UK and Ireland. We mainly focus on the employers, but we are and middle to large employers. But we also find that recruitment firms are very keen on using our psychometrics to complement the CVs, the resumes that they are submitting to their clients. So the marketplace for online psychometrics, where you can not only assess what someone can do and is qualified to do and has experience to do from their CV, but also you know what the person is like from the detailed report you'll have from a psychometric assessment, means that employers can be much more effective, much more efficient in assessing candidates and moving candidates through the process quickly. Whenever a candidate is applying for a job, usually they're applying for several jobs at the same time, and being able to process and progress a candidate through the application as quickly as possible is the best way of keeping a candidate on the boil, as it were, still interested in your company, your organization, and not being put off by bad candidate experience. And bad candidate experience is largely down to a very slow process.
So let's talk about candidate experience. You know, we touched on this a bit when we were talking about the NORAs. Obviously, PC Evaluate addresses this. It's a big deal here in the U.S. among the in the recruitment industry and among those folks that are HR professionals and hiring professionals. We've talked about it for years. The problem is the problem continues. We still know that a bad candidate experience exists and continues on and actually is thriving. And one of the issues that I've spoken with other guests on this show, last month we did a series on candidate experience, was that a huge part of the problem is technology. Something that was supposed to bring us closer together, make the job easier, has actually driven that face-to-face and voice-to-voice communication further apart and allowed for recruiters or hiring professionals to lose candidates in the process. And by that I mean they get lost in the systems. They get lost in cyberspace. They get, because of the influx of so many online profiles or resumes and databases that are filled with information that we just cannot search appropriately, the candidate gets lost. So is this an ongoing issue in the UK? Have you felt a sense of we talk about it, but nothing's being done to solve it? Do you feel like the NORAs address this and that recruiters are a little bit more aware?
With the NORAs, we try, through highlighting those who give excellence in candidate experience, we try to throw a light on those so that those other companies who are flapping around trying to think, well, you know, what do we do? How do we do it? There's an example there of those companies who are doing it well. The candidates aren't really revolting in the streets, but from my point of view, they would be. They should be, rather. I would like candidates to push back, to say we won't stand for this, we won't tolerate this. But unfortunately, employers who give a bad candidate experience really aren't punished. Candidates are, over the years, have found that they have to put up with what they're given. They're
exactly
not able to make any change. So being able to effect change through, you know, programs like the NORAs or, you know, the conversations that go on throughout the industry, it's a process in shaming, if you like, companies who don't do it well and making them feel bad, because in large part, organizations, when they deliver a great candidate experience, they won't necessarily have a great uplift in their recruiting efficiencies. What they will do is have a much better long-term likelihood of a good result from all their hiring efforts. And frankly, it feels better, it looks better, and it works far better for all concerned if people are simply taking the time to understand, well, if I was applying to my own company, would I be satisfied with this? Companies really need to do that and do it on a regular basis. If you think about it, recruitment is really simple. It's as simple as can be. There are three elements that come together: a candidate, an employer, and a vacancy. All that we're needing to do is to bring those three things together. And all of the tools that are out there claim to disintermediate, to move problems out of the way, to make things simpler. And in fact, they often actually turn out to do exactly the opposite. They make things more complex, more difficult, and more awkward.
So you touched on this, and thank you for that explanation. I think that it's going to be an ongoing issue, and it might be more about educating the candidates about what they are experiencing and help them understand what the recruiters are going through and how they are receiving hundreds to possibly thousands of resumes for one opening, and there is not a possibility for them to connect with each and every single applicant. And I feel like I'm tried to do that. I every day I am contacted, you probably are too, by friends or friends of friends who are in the middle of a job search, and they just don't understand the process, and they want to know, what's wrong with me? Why am I not getting called back? Why am I not getting that interview? Right? And so it might just be a matter of educating.
If you think about it from a candidate's point of view, they can't help but take it personally.
Absolutely.
Candidates are really frustrated. Candidates are, in terms of the problems that candidates are facing, you know, candidates are underused, undervalued, overworked, underpaid, misemployed, employed in a job they were hired for that turned out to be something else, underappreciated, sometimes overpaid, and then overstressed in a job that they're being paid too much to do.
Absolutely.
Overlooked, undertrained. So all of these effects on candidates are pushing and pulling them one way and the other, and it's very difficult for a candidate to latch on to something they can see as absolutely definite about the recruitment process. When they go from one company to another, they experience a different thing each time. There's no consistency. When we look at certain things online now, the online sector, the online social media space, for example, has evolved over the past 12 years, where we know what Facebook looks like, we know what Twitter looks like, we know what LinkedIn looks like, and even though those platforms change on a weekly basis, we know how they work. When a candidate goes from applying to, you know, company A to company B to company C, the processes are entirely different, and there's no real way of knowing in advance what you're letting yourself in for. There may well be 10 interviews to go through. There may well be assessments and tests and open days and all sorts of things. And candidates don't know in advance what's happening. And one really easy way of making sure that the candidates stay on your side through the process until the point that you want to say you're either right for us or wrong for us is let them know what's coming. Let them know what the process is. Spell it out to them. Give them an indicator on the screen as they go through the ATS system. You're halfway through. You're almost finished. Whatever that is, just tell them where they're up to. And manage their expectations.
That's really important, and I agree with you 100%. You know, when we talked earlier, you mentioned the regional differences between where you are and what happens in London. You know, and the same holds true here in the U.S. or in North America. It's very different in Toronto than it is from Vancouver, or in Miami than it is from L.A. There are those regional differences that exist, and I'm sure that it's the same in the U.K., Scotland, to England, to Ireland, to wherever. And with what you just mentioned, the onset of social communications and how the world has seemingly become smaller, right? We're able to reach out and touch and talk and expand our network exponentially. There also has become, right? it has also become more complex, right? So I'm wondering if with the onset of social communication, social networking, the ability for us to use the internet to benefit us more, to educate ourselves along with entertainment. I mean, the expansion of networking and online entertainment like Netflix, like Amazon Prime has changed how we view programming, how we view entertainment, right? And so, of course, it's going to change how we continue to communicate. Are you seeing in what you're doing with the online psychometrics, with what you're doing with the NORAs, a blurring of those lines in our differences, or are our differences becoming more highlighted?
When I was a kid, I remember my dad telling me that when he was young, he thought everyone in the States lived in one of those large plantation houses with the white pillars out the front and a huge staircase inside. Because how would he know otherwise? It was either that or, you know, they were all living in cowboy towns like John Wayne. Of course, we now know that not only, you know, the UK to the States, but we know even the tiniest countries in the world, we have a good impression of what they're like. I certainly view the world as a very small place now, and I would think nothing of, you know, speaking on Skype or over the phone or you know, face to face and on FaceTime with someone on any part of the planet. And I can view any part of the planet. I can go on Google Maps and zoom into the most remote region in the world and see it from above. So, you know, the ability to encapsulate the entire world on your screen, you know, in your eye shot, is nothing short of amazing. So, yes, there are blurring of lines. So from a recruitment point of view and an HR point of view, we can very easily see that things are done better or worse in other places. And if we disregard the worst, because often we compare ourselves to places that aren't doing things so well, and we say, well, at least we're not as bad as, you know, whether it's India or Malaysia or Hong Kong or South Africa. It's no good to say we're not as bad as them. What you should be doing is looking at those that are doing things better. So if they have great systems and processes in Germany or in Spain or Italy, okay, I'm joking when I say Italy, but if they have great processes, if they have great processes anywhere else, then frankly, steal them. Learn, take inspiration from them. It's not quite the same thing, but the very first website I built for my company back in 98, I found that with Microsoft Front Page, you could download someone else's website, put your logos on it, and then re-upload it to your own web domain, which is exactly what I did, frankly, with a recruitment company from somewhere in California. Can I just give my apologies now? But it showed that, you know, there's very little that's absolutely new, and you can take inspiration from anywhere else. And if they're doing something well, frankly, learn from it and copy it.
Absolutely. We have to wrap up. The show goes so quickly, but I have a couple of last things I want to touch on before we say goodbye. I want to thank you, Stephen, for joining me today on HR Latte. One thing that I like to ask always is about you, about yourself, about what you consider the most important things for you, Stephen, in your life, in your career. When you consider your own future, whether it's with PC Evaluate, whether it's growing the NORAs internationally, what are three key things that you do consistently or have learned to do or have changed over the last few years to secure your own job, to do your own job better, maybe to hang on to clients or get new clients? Well, can you share with us some things that you do consistently?
I'm a born nosy parker, and I grew up building Airfix model kits and mechanical kits and so on. So I love learning to make things and do things and do new things. So when I look at you know, websites, for example, I've gradually become inadvertently a bit of a WordPress expert. So I build websites for myself and sometimes for other people. And it turns out that I now know quite a bit more about WordPress than most other people. And that happened by accident. And it was really just a hobby, but it's a really useful hobby because I then have an insight into things. In terms of other things, always be doing something new, always be learning something new. And
right.
Whilst it's very un-British or very un-Scottish to be confident in your ability, I've learned actually that if you have a healthy conceit of yourself, then that really helps you to get through each day and get things done, because no one's going to do things for you. I'm always busy. Always busy. Whether it's in recruitment, online recruitment, or outside of work, I've always got something going on because I just don't like to sit still.
That's great. And I love the message you shared about confidence, because in this world of experts, ninjas, and gurus, there are plenty of people out there who claim to know more than they do. And so having that healthy confidence is really valuable. Do you have any last words of wisdom before we hit our quick hit faves?
Last words of wisdom. Again, I mentioned my dad earlier. My dad said to me when I was young, if you can become expert at one thing, then you won't have to go and look for work. Work will come looking for you. We're now in an age where you might expect with all the technology that work will come looking for you. But the key is to find out what that one thing is, or a couple of things that you're expert at, and focus on that when you're telling people what you're able to do. Don't try and be the same as everyone else. Show them what you're uniquely expert at. And it might be recruitment, it might be WordPress, it might be podcasting and speaking in public. But if you're good at it, then don't be shy about telling everyone else about it.
That is excellent advice. So with that, we're going to wrap up. My guest today has been Stephen O'Donnell of PC Evaluate and the NORAs, the National Online Recruitment Awards, out of Glasgow, Scotland. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
You.
I always wrap up my show with the quick hit question phase, where I love, this is my favorite part because it's for me. It's all about me here. So what's your favorite food?
Pasta, any kind of pasta. My wife is Italian and she's a fabulous cook.
Ah, that's wonderful. Oh. I'll have to get some recipes from her. Your favorite book?
Yeah. 100 Years of Solitude is Gabriel Garcia Marquez. It's a fabulous book.
Oh, I'll have to.
I never read books again, but I would read that again and again. It's a great book.
Well, tell me the title again. 100 Years of Solitude.
100 Years of Solitude.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll check it out. Your favorite place. Now, I always qualify with this. It doesn't have to be a remote location. It could be a room in your home. It could be a park by you. My favorite place is a beach a mile from me. So,
fantastic. My favorite place, I always wanted the same place that I could go to on holiday every year. And my two brothers-in-law have a palazzo in Italy, about 20
nice.
Minutes north of Perugia. So they restored this, and it's kind of like a boutique hotel. But it's on a hilltop overlooking the Tiber Valley, and we go there. Yeah, it's glorious.
I will have to find out about that too, because one of my goals in the next year is to go to Italy. I've never been, so I will connect with you on that for sure.
Look it up online. It's called Palazzo Maggio.
Okay, that sounds great. Now I'm really excited. And the very last question that I like to ask is, what is your favorite thing to do? I'm going to guess that it's tinkering, and I love the word or the phrase that you shared, nosy Parker. I've heard that a couple of times. I just love that. Such a regional difference.
I am a very poor musician. I was such a bad drummer that I became a manager of bands. And around my desk, I have a variety of instruments that I can't play very well. So if I ever pause, then usually I'll pick up drumsticks or a mouth organ or my ukulele.
I love that. So hopefully at some point we will meet face-to-face. I feel like we're good friends, even though we've never actually met face-to-face. So hopefully one day we'll meet. Maybe we can have a little jam session. So that would be
Absolutely.
A great deal of fun. Stephen, thank you so much.
What do you play?
I play a little bit of guitar, a little bit of ukulele, a little bit of, just some tambourine, and I sing a little bit. I like to. So
Excellent.
It's the years of being on stage. You're kind of forced into entertaining, right?
It's a date.
It has been an absolute pleasure. Stephen O'Donnell of PC Evaluate and the NORAs has joined us today here on HR Latte, kicking off my series for March called the UK Connection. Next week, I'll be sitting down with Lisa Scales as my virtual road trip continues. Lisa is the co-founder of TribePad, and when I put out the word that I was going to be doing this series, multiple people told me, you have to talk to Lisa. I've known Lisa for years, met her briefly at a conference in London several years ago, and so I'm looking forward to that conversation. Additionally, Matthew Jeffrey, who is the VP of Global Sourcing and Employment Branding at SAP, will be joining us. Ken Ward, currently the Managing Director and Co-Founder at Winter Court Consulting, helping out DXW, and Mike Taylor, who has his own set of awards, the Global Mobile Recruitment Awards. This will be year two for those awards. We'll be wrapping up the month for me. Again, Stephen, thanks so much for kicking it off for me. I knew that you would be my first guest, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
The pleasure was all mine. Thank you very much, Rihanna.
All right. Thanks, folks. Join us again next week when my first guest, our next guest, will be Lisa Scales.